Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now for the purpose of allowing you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, or seek direction for your real-life issue. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. Tomorrow we celebrate the independence of our country, and it is an exciting day for Americans.
Yes.
I know everybody likes to celebrate this particular day with backyard barbecues or lake trips and fireworks and all of those sort of things, but it is truly a significant day,
yeah.
One that we should reflect upon and think about the freedoms that we have in Christ or have as Americans. Mm-hmm. But the freedom that we have in Christ is much more valuable to us. And I was thinking about, you know, in 1776, there was this Declaration of Independence, and it was signed by all of the founding fathers of this country. And that is a document that is so precious. And yesterday we talked about a statement that Jesus made to the paralytic. He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And when he speaks those words to us, that really is God's declaration to you and to me of our spiritual independence from sin and death. Those are just such powerful words of freedom. Sometimes I think we don't think about it in those terms. I know I didn't necessarily think about forgiveness as a powerful statement of my freedom in Christ, but in reality, it is, and I know Paul addressed that in both Ephesians and Colossians. He just couples forgiveness and freedom in a couple of places there, Richard,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, and the word he uses to couple it is redemption. And you know, we make this a big religious word and try to make it like that's salvation or something, and it's not. What he talks about is that we have redemption. This is the Ephesians passage. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And what he's talking about to these people is something that was completely familiar to them. The vast majority of people who lived in the Roman Empire were slaves. That's just the way it was. Relatively few people, probably less than 20% of the people, were actually freeborn or had earned citizenship. The rest were slaves. They were conquered. They did whatever they were told to do. And to this group of slaves, most of whom made up the early Christian church, he said, "You have been redeemed from slavery to sin." And this is more important than even the slavery you would like to be free of from the Romans that conquered you. And so in every aspect, there's this idea of going into a slave market, buying someone, taking them home, and setting them free, declaring them to be something that now can never be taken away from them. And that's what we get through the blood of Jesus because of his death on the cross and that victory over sin. We have been redeemed from slavery to sin. There's no longer any need for us to be slaves to sin. We have the flesh, and we battle with that. We know all about that. But the slavery is gone. We are now free in Christ Jesus.
That's good news.
It's a great picture.
That is good news. The truth of forgiveness sets the captives free. And as Jesus said, "And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
Yeah.
Through his shed blood on the cross, Jesus set us free. When he says, "Your sins are forgiven," take that as a declaration of your independence from sin and death. That's basic gospel.
That's
right,
basic
there.
Gospel. And, you know, in the last couple of days, guys, we've heard some wonderful testimonies about the freedom that our listeners have experienced in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would like to call and share something with us along that line, we would love to hear from you on this edition. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a particular Bible passage or some life issue you'd like us to discuss, why, that number is good right now as well, 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to Livermore, California, and talk with William, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you, as always.
I'm calling because I heard a woman call yesterday who said that somebody told her that if she sins one time too many, then she can lose her salvation.
Yes.
You recall that call?
I do.
I hear that quite frequently. My question is, doesn't a belief like that reveal somebody who does not have faith in Jesus? I mean, the Word of God tells us that through Christ, God reconciled the world, not counting men's sins against them. That kind of a person saying that God is counting your sins against you. I mean, how else could you sin one time too many if God's not counting them against you?
Well, William, yes. I mean, it's a human approach to the sin issue. That's the sign that a person is thinking through the human lens and not through God's lens, not through God's mind. It's exactly what Peter did when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter stood and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, immediately after that, Jesus started talking about his death, burial, and resurrection, and Peter stood up again and said, "Oh, no, Lord, that's not going to happen to you." And he was rebuked strongly by Jesus, and as a matter of fact, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And what he said is, because you're not thinking with the mind of God, you are seeing things through a human lens, through human perspective. And so, William, when somebody says that they believe that, you know, they can sin too much, that there's a line there, they're looking at it through their own understanding. They're not seeing truth. So that statement isn't a statement of faith. That statement isn't a statement of faith at all. And it could belie the real faith that's in their hearts. All of us have legalistic tendencies. All of us are natural-born legalists. That's what I call them. And we have tendencies to be law-based. We have tendencies to go back to a system of rules and regulations. And when we do, I think God continues to do his work in our lives and in our hearts to push that out of us, to challenge us and to say, "Hey, what did I do for you at the cross? How many sins did I forgive of yours at the cross? How much blood did I shed to take away not just some of your sins, but all of them?" And so God's grace works on us in that way to bring us to this point of coming and saying, "Lord, thank you that I am a totally forgiven person." Legalism draws lines and says we can cross over those lines. Grace erases all of those lines and says, there's no sin too big. There's no sin that can be done in enough times to say anything about the grace of God, to change the power and the effectiveness of the grace of God in our lives.
Yeah, and like you were discussing when you opened the show about being set free as a slave to sin, I love the passage in Romans where Paul says that sin shall not be your master, for you're not under the law but under grace. And realizing that I have been set free from the law, that my sins are not being counted against me, has truly set me free from being a slave to sin. If I were to have the mindset that God's counting my sins against me, then that would be my focus, is my behavior. What am I doing? Am I sinning? I've got to stop sinning, and I find myself a slave to sin. And when I set that aside, when I realize what God has done for me, then the sin issue becomes very unimportant in my life, and I find that I'm actually loving others rather than sinning. You know, not looking at myself, I'm looking at Him.
Absolutely. That's the whole point. Faith directs our eyes to Jesus Christ. It helps us to understand the things of God and to discount the things of men. And that's what the lady was saying, that she had heard, that we can cross the line. That's a thing of man. That's what we come up with. That's what our minds generate. That's not what God's mind generates. That's not his plan whatsoever. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. That's just the way it is. Our sin did not prevent Jesus from being raised from the dead. That's the point that we need to understand. Jesus Christ took not only our sins, William, he took the sins of the entire world upon himself. And when he did, he died. But he did not remain in that tomb. The third day, God raised him from the dead. Now, if sin was bigger than God's grace, Jesus would have not been raised. But the fact that grace is bigger than sin and more powerful than sin and has claimed victory over sin, Jesus was raised. That's the good news. That answers all questions. That erases those lines that we draw in our minds and brings rest and peace to our hearts. And that's exactly what you're testifying about today, Richard.
I used to be one of those people who thought, you know, maybe the next time I blow it will be the last time. And God finally had to get through to me, and the way he did it was to take my terrible, terrible logic to its ultimate conclusion. And I had to answer the question, how many sins would it take to be lost? And the answer is one. It didn't matter if it was the 35th or the 350th or the 3500th. It was one sin would have cost me my salvation. Then God said, so do you want to stand before me in your own strength, or do you want to accept what Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection? I had to give in. Just had to give in.
Well, William, thanks for your call. As
thank
always,
you
always bring some good insight to the program. So thank you, my friend.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too.
Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a testimony of the freedom you found in Christ, give us a call. We want to hear your testimony in this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, got a very encouraging note this morning from June, who lives in San Francisco, and it is a testimony to freedom she's found in the Lord Jesus. She said, to me, freedom is best explained in the Apostle Paul's meeting before Agrippa, a known addictive-natured individual, while Paul was in bonds. In reality, Agrippa was the one in bondage, and Paul, though chained, was totally free. He had learned in whatsoever state he was to be content. When our lives are filled with multiple trials, pressures, strains, and stresses, as mine has been, especially throughout 2014, we can learn to be confident in that freedom because of Paul's example. I thought that was a very good comment.
Yeah, that's a powerful comment. And, you know, we get chained to our circumstances. We let circumstances to determine our happiness, determine our emotional state. And what we're doing is just allowing those circumstances to control us. And so those circumstances put us on an up and down and topsy-turvy roller coaster ride. But we don't have to be slaves to our circumstances. And that's what she's talking about. Yeah. Certainly Paul was not a slave to his circumstances. He learned the secret to contentment, knowing that in whatever circumstance that he was in, that he was totally loved by God, that God was for him, not against him. And that's good news. And in those circumstances, he experienced God's presence. And wherever God's presence is, there is freedom. That wasn't the case for Agrippa.
Right.
And I think she's exactly right by saying that he was the one that was in bondage, not Paul. And June was talking about in her own life the multiple trials and pressures and strains and stresses that she's experienced this year. And those come, don't they?
Absolutely.
We all experience pressures in life. We all experience trials and tribulations. We all get stressed out about what's happening around us, but we don't have to be slaves to those things. And when we can find our rest and our contentment in Christ Jesus, that's what enables us to stand up under those circumstances.
Yeah.
and to enjoy the joy and peace that only can come through faith in Jesus Christ. So, June, thank you for writing to us. We certainly appreciate it.
Certainly do.
Well, let's go to New York and talk with Patricia, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I just had a question about the Jewish people. I know they've been put aside for a time until the right number of Gentiles come to Christ. But where do they go in the meantime? Do they go to hell? Because, you know, God's no respecter of persons. So you wonder where they're going, to torment or just aside. What does that mean?
Well, Patricia, in the book of Romans? You know, the gospel's going forth out there. And
right.
The message of Christ is reaching hearts. It's reaching Jewish hearts. It's reaching Gentile hearts. And yeah. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So are there Jews or are there people from a Jewish heritage, from a Jewish background, responding to the good news concerning Jesus? Yes, there are. There, as
right.
Paul said, a remnant.
The ones who die. I was concerned about the ones who die without Christ.
The same thing would happen to them as far as a Gentile. Somebody that doesn't have a Jewish heritage, a Gentile heritage. So this message of Christ is being put forth. And in that message of Christ, there's a revelation of the righteousness of God. If we want to be on the right side of the equation, it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And
both
Jew and Gentile can stand and rebel against God, or they can let the message of Christ melt their hearts and respond to him in an attitude of faith. So,
I understand. So, in other words, they will face torment if they don't turn to Christ in faith.
Again, Patricia, the whole issue is this sin of unbelief. Jesus said sent the Spirit into the world to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment about sin, because the world does not believe in Jesus. So that's the issue. And that's what's being challenged today by the Spirit of God as he brings the message of Christ to people's hearts, both Jew and Gentile. And here's the great news. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, whether Jew or Gentile.
Yes.
We see that happening in the world today. And that's great news, isn't it, Patricia?
It sure is. But thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
You do.
Well, let's go to New York and talk with Frank, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. It's so nice to be able to talk to you, gentlemen.
Well, nice to talk with you.
I wanted to talk to the people that think that they can out-sin God's grace. You can't out-sin God's grace. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there's no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. So God has already forgiven you and not holding it against us when we sin. What the problem with sin is that Jesus Christ died so that we could live life more abundantly. When you sin, because the wages of sin is death, you're not going to live an abundant life while you're here on earth. And that's what Christ wants us to live, an abundant life here. Also, not only just look forward to heaven, but we should be living an abundant life here. And the problem with sin is not that God won't forgive us, but mankind. There are sins that you can commit that mankind won't forgive you for. You understand? If you steal, God says thou shalt not steal. But if you steal, go to jail. That's the problem with sin. You understand?
So I do, Frank.
I think that people need to really understand what God is saying.
Well,
I
appreciate your point there. You know, when Paul talks about Christ's death in Romans 6, he said Christ died to sin. Well, we've died in Christ, so we've died to sin as well. We've died
to sin
of unbelief, and then we've been raised to walk in belief, to trust Christ. That's the newness.
Amen.
That's the newness of life, and we will concentrate on the new. Everything else will take care of itself. Well, thanks.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you, Frank. We sure appreciate hearing from you.
Yes.
Well, let's go to the Bronx and talk with Fiona. Hi, Fiona.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, doing well.
Good.
How can we help you today?
My question is, I have two youngsters. The children who recently got baptized, my son is 11, my daughter is 7. And I would like to know, moving forward, how do I help them to understand, you know, what exactly has happened to them, you know, now that they have been saved? How do I give them, help them develop an accurate knowledge of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit of their Father? You know, how do I go about doing that? Because what I've realized in my listening to Basic Gospel is that there's so much confusion in Christendom.
Well, Fiona, I think you're absolutely right. There is a lot of confusion that exists out there. And we are a part of the problem, not Basic Gospel, but just people in general. We try to complicate things and to make things complex when God wants to simplify the message in our hearts and minds. And so I appreciate your heart. I appreciate your desire to communicate to your kids truth that will really set them free. What I would suggest to you, Fiona, is this. We have several resources, and I will actually send them to you just as our way of saying thanks for bringing this to the air today. And I would just sit down with your kids and talk through some of these Bible passages with them. I would be open and transparent with them about some of your trials and tribulations, some of the confusion that you've had in your life about the gospel and religion and all of that. Maybe go over a couple of verses every day with your kids and talk to them about this grace of God, what Jesus Christ accomplished for them through his death, burial, and resurrection. Because the message of Christ is what engenders faith in a person's heart. Faith comes by hearing by the message regarding Christ Jesus. So if you keep giving them the message, then you can trust the Lord to do his work inside of them. That's what they want to know. That's what they're longing to hear. And the more that you can help them see that God truly loves them, the better off they're going to be in the long run.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome, Fiona. You hang on. Let me put you on hold, and we will get some great resources to you, okay?
I appreciate it. God bless you.
You are so welcome. You hang on. Well, let's go quickly to Joseph listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joseph.
Hello. How are you?
Doing well. We've got about a minute.
Okay. Can you tell me why when Jesus had his trial and he was brought before the Sanhedrin and then he was brought before Herod and then Pilate, and in all three occasions he was asked to perform a miracle and he didn't do it. Can you tell me why he didn't?
Well, quite simply, the Father didn't tell him to do a miracle. I think that is the answer. You know, throughout his ministry, when he was openly, teaching and all of that sort of thing, the Father was leading him to perform miracles of healing, miracles of all kind. At that particular point, the Father wasn't leading him to do that because something else was at stake. He was about to offer up himself for the sins of the world. Well, Joseph, hope that helps. We sure appreciate your call.
Tomorrow's edition of Basic Gospel will be a special edition observing United States Independence Day. I hope you'll tune in. I also hope you'll take advantage of the great July Freedom Sale in progress right now and through midnight this Sunday night. We're celebrating the freedoms we've enjoyed in the U.S. by sharing with you the freedom we have in Christ. And Basic Gospel resources are wonderful tools to help you communicate the truth of the gospel to those around you. So, through midnight this Sunday, you can order these resources, books, booklets, CDs, Bible study guides, all at 40% off the regular price. It's a phenomenal once-a-year sale. And to see everything that's available, simply visit store.basicgospel.net. When you purchase, be sure to enter the word freedom in the coupon field. Be sure to join us before or check it out before midnight this Sunday night, 40% off the July Freedom Sale. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. It's been a very interesting one. And again, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis wishing for you and your family and friends a happy and safe 4th of July Independence Day weekend. We'll see you back for a live edition on Monday. Take care and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.